There have been 8 teams that have scored 140-plus points in the NBA since Sunday. The Rockets and Nets were 2 of those teams last night, but unfortunately, the Brooklyn Nets took down the Houston Rockets 145-142 in overtime, even though the Rockets were up 8 points with a minute left in the fourth and 7 points with 128 to play in overtime. James Harden had 58 points. He had 10 rebounds, 6 assists. It's his 18th straight game with 30-plus points. And his 9 in the last 12, he has had 40-plus points. It's his second straight season high with 58. He had 57 on Monday. He was pissed, though. He pushed a camera guy on his way into the locker room. And after the game, he said he's seen every defense imaginable.
I've seen everything you can see defensively throughout this entire year. Literally everything. The guys just leaving their man running and double team, trapping, everything.
And the Nets did a lot of that late last time, which got the ball into Austin Rivers' hands a couple times, and he couldn't quite convert. I mean, I'm kind of split this morning because, you know, going back and watching, I don't even know if it was really a collapse, despite the fact that they led by 8 and they led by 7 in the overtime. It was that the Nets just kept coming back and just making crazy plays, just hitting shots with, you know, hands in their faces and whatnot.
Right, they're hitting covered threes.
Yeah, my two issues would be, number one, the Rockets didn't foul up 3 with 12 seconds to go. You got to foul up 3. And the second one was, they're up by 4 in overtime. And Gerald Green, instead of letting that guy, that Allen guy with the hair, basically, you know, lay it up or dunk it, he fouls him. And so he makes the shot, then he misses the free throw. They get the rebound, they hit a 3. Like, if you just let him hit the shot, you're up by 4, you'd be up 2 with the ball. So those two sequences are the ones where I'd have an issue with the way the Rockets executed last night.
That's why Gerald Green's been spending too much time out at the Southwest Terminal greeting passengers. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Gerald Green and a couple guys.
I just saw the picture of Gerald Green. They were out at just greeting passengers as they got off the Southwest flight.
I think I got an email about that, actually.
Oh, did you?
I think so.
From who?
The Rockets? The Rockets, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I knew they were doing something.
And honestly, because the point you make about not following up 3, all valid. And look, the Nets hit a lot of three-pointers with hands on their faces. They were guarded. Part of it, like, honestly, the vague side of me, because this was such a weird loss, wants to just, without thinking too much about it, say, look, you're playing a game with 4 guards for chunks of time, and you've got 2 of your very best players out. One of your other best players is back and on a minute's restriction. And this is the kind of crap that happens after you've been leaning on a guy to score 30, 40, 50 points a night for as long as he has.
Maybe.
It is a shame to lose a game like this, because you're going to need...
You'll need
just over the next month, you just need to coast as much as you can.
Yeah.
Like, and the problem is you're going to have to fight your ass off the coast.
Yes.
Like, but you need to play, if you can play 500 basketball and maintain some semblance of where you are right now, then when you get back to full strength, you feel pretty good about it. And I can't figure out yet if it's a blessing or a curse that the West is as packed as it is right now when you're in this situation. I guess, is it good or bad that you're all compressed like this?
Well, I'd rather have it not be and have, like, some kind of margin for error.
Yeah, there's a margin for error. But now, if you lose a few, though, still, you're still going to only be within a few of the rest of the conference.
I mean, this LeBron thing is quietly kind of a big deal. He keeps missing games. He won't be here in the Rockets-Lakers game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the Lakers have basically fallen apart without him. And so they're in a situation where, like, they could be, you know, a 7th seed, and all of a sudden you're in a tough spot when you're playing on the road in the first round. But we'll see, obviously. Still 3 months to go.
Other notes from last night. The Rockets broke their own record for 3-point attempts in a game with 70. Eric Gordon returned. He looked pretty good. 20 points in 21 minutes, but he left in the third quarter with some soreness. And James Ennis cut his leg at night before last night's game because of stairs and had to miss the game, as we continue to see the Rockets missing games for strange and bizarre reasons, injuries, contracts, etc. James Harden, by the way, is now running even with Giannis Antetokounmpo in terms of MVP odds. In college football, Jalen Hurts entered the transfer portal and is transferring from Alabama to Oklahoma. He announced it via the Players Tribune. Since he is a grad transfer, he can play right away.
I think I was really surprised by the reaction to this. Our good friend and colleague Sean Pendergast tweeted about how the Hurts transfer will change the Heisman odds. I understand that the last 2 Oklahoma quarterbacks have won the Heisman Trophy, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. I like Jalen Hurts, and he seems like a wonderful kid. But Jalen Hurts isn't that good at football. He's solid at football, but there's a reason why Tua took over. He's much better throwing the ball. And I realize that Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley have a good system, yada, 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 but I've seen Jalen Hurts play, and I've seen Baker play, and I've seen Kyler Murray play, and he can't throw the ball
that,
like those guys can.
But that makes an interesting, but it will be an interesting experiment to see just how much more, I'll say he'll be more prolific in that system.
I think so.
He's
going
to be, now, does he have the physical skills and tools to do what those two previous Oklahoma quarterbacks do? I'm with you, Mike, but it will be an interesting experiment to see just letting it loose and letting it fly at Oklahoma. Like, what the numbers look like? What's the difference?
Devil's advocate argument. He is going to the Big 12, which doesn't play a whole lot of defense. He's grown up against the SEC his whole life. He's never been more challenged than he has been over the last couple of seasons. So he's going there. And, I mean, I think you do have to wonder, as you said, Seth, like how much can Lincoln Riley add to what he does?
Right.
Kyler Murray was an afterthought when he went to Oklahoma in terms of actually being a Heisman candidate, was he? I mean, I think he took everyone by surprise with what he was able to do last season, stepping in for Baker Mayfield. Yeah, that's a guy who was talented coming out of high school, but I think with the way things went at Texas A&M, I think he was essentially on the scrap heap left for dead.
I would say that to make a very vague generalization, because some teams in the Big 12 play better defense than some teams in the SEC. I get all that. I think you tend to see more man in the SEC, in that in some ways, I think when he goes to play in the Big 12, some of these zone defenses he sees is going to feel like he's driving like on a highway with wide lanes.
Yeah.
And versus,
and he can run too.
Versus those
he
teams.
He can run.
Versus those teams, he might really rack up some impressive stats.
I won't deny he will put up he will put up bigger numbers. He will.
Murray can run. He can really run. He can run people over.
Yes.
Murray's faster than everyone. Hurts is built somewhat like a running back.
Yeah, he's more durable.
Also, in football, the Jaguars hired John DeFilippo as their offensive coordinator for next season. He replaces Nathaniel Hackett.
It's interesting because, you know, Seth has pointed out that, hey, it's a weird deal. I don't disagree that
it's a weird deal that the Jaguars are built to run the football. Like,
yes.
Tom Coughlin, he drafted Leonard Fournette instead of Pat Mahomes. And yet, they just hired an offensive coordinator who was fired because he refused to run the football in Minnesota.
You know, it's weird. I'm not against the idea of having a running-based attack. Like, the Ravens were successful for a while. But when I look at Minnesota, like, I just get kind of angry as a fan. Like, the Steelers segment for basically, you know, 10 minutes ago. That, you know, this is a team that they brought in a high-priced quarterback. They brought in two receivers. If you look at these teams that are playing on Sunday in, you know, in these conference title games, they do it mostly because they pass the ball extremely well. I look at Minnesota. I've always loved Dalvin Cook. I think he's really good. Their offensive line is garbage. Like,
yeah.
It is not good. So for those guys to sit there and be like, oh, my God, Mike Zimmer, we have to run the ball. I'm like, okay, that's great, but your line isn't very good.
But
so how are you going to keep running the ball?
But that's different than, like, having philosophies aligned. So I guess I don't know. If that was Mike Zimmer's philosophy and that's what he wanted, you're saying that when DeFilippo gets to Jacksonville, maybe it'll be different because he'll be better suited to actually run the football versus when he was in Minnesota?
I think it could be.
Okay.
Leonard Fournette met with Doug Marrone and things are going swimmingly now.
So they're okay. Leonard Fournette, who looked
he's back.
He looked disinterested at times during the
and
end of the
fat.
Year. Tom Coughlin apologized to fans for the way his Leonard Fournette acted on the sideline when he was in street clothes. It was really ugly there towards the end. I guess the other one would be, if you're watching the Jaguars to see whether there's turmoil within, if Leonard Fournette is in a good place, the next question is, where is Jalen Ramsey? Is he in a good spot?
He defended Deshaun Watson last week when Steve Smith was attacking him.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
So, but he didn't defend Blake Bortles, I guess. Yeah.
He is
in a good place with a team? His own team, I guess, is the question. Like,
I don't know.
So he and Deshaun Watson are in a good place.
Yeah. They are.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey was kind of, he was peeved at the team. I wonder where he is right now.
Is not calling Blake Bortles trash when you're as honest as Jalen Ramsey is? Is that defending Blake Bortles?
Is somebody,
kind of.
I feel like he's ripe for, like, somebody accusing him of being a liar by not calling out Blake Bortles, and then so he'll call out Blake Bortles.
There are very few things that really stun me, but once in a while, and I enjoy Rich Lord, and you know Rich has been around for a long time. Rich, yeah, there is a butt here. I'm listening yesterday, and this opinion just floored me.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking
it
about.
Floored
is this
me.
About a fourth down?
It is not about a fourth
oh,
down.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, Rich said last week that he disagreed with O'Brien going for on fourth down, as early and as often as he did against Indy. I substantively disagree with Rich's perspective on that, but I respect his opinion. On this one, I respect his opinion too, but I was really blown away by this. Here's Rich Lord with a very bizarre Houston comparison.
With all that talent comes higher levels of expectation, and I don't want to be an alarmist, but it's time to start delivering on all that talent. I know they had the one World Series championship, but like I said, the last thing you want is for 10, 15, 20 years from now to look back on this and say, you know, you were the Atlanta Braves in the 90s.
Dude, I love one how, I love how you're like, of the three teams,
yeah,
you're like,
listen, Astros,
this is the
I know
new
you
reality.
Won a year ago, but you're a failure if you don't win again.
This is the new reality in this town, and you got to embrace it. Yeah, you absolutely have to embrace
if you're
it.
You're not above the Lord line. Wow.
We want these teams to deliver.
This take blew me away.
He has high standards. His high standards for the Astros.
The
what are you
1990s
do?
Atlanta Braves. We're already there. We're already there.
Well, he said it. No, we're not. He said if they don't deliver more, then that's where they'll be. All they did was make it to the ALCS.
Yes.
They made it to the ALCS. They didn't fall apart or anything. Oh. It was in a very this is the damn problem, is that the American League is the Western Conference of the NBA.
Right.
Like the American League is so stacked at the top now.
Red Sox, Yankees, Indians.
Making the World Series is not such a simple thing. That it's you got to if you're amongst the top 3 or 4 depending on how we feel about the Tyler Bauer show. If you're amongst the top 3 in the AL, like that's pretty damn impressive. That's not as simple as just, you know, underperforming or what have you.
Well, gotta tell you, when you take a look at the Astros over the last couple of years, 2015, they almost beat the World Series champions. Almost. 2016, didn't make the playoffs. Is there a theme developing here? 2017, they win the World Series. Okay. Yeah, last year, don't beat the Boston Red Sox. Ooh, we're getting close to Rich Lord territory here. I'm only being mildly sarcastic, by the way, because that is the correct mindset. That is a correct mindset.
The correct mindset.
Yes, there should be, you know what?
Well,
let's call it the Lord line.
No, let's say, well, let's call it the Gallant Steelers line is what you're talking about.
Be
is
better. That, yes.
Exactly. You would compare it to the more recent example of, in your mind, if they only won the World Series this once, it would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. If they had all this talent and they somehow undelivered, even though they.
The Steelers, the Steelers are different than the Braves because the Steelers never won. Yeah. They should have won.
Well, I mean, they've won a couple, but yeah.
Yeah, they've won a couple, but not with this current
crop. Right, but I would say that era, look, Antonio, the last Super Bowl the Steelers won was with Antonio Brown as a rookie. So, like,
but that was the Mike Wallace.
No,
team.
I know, but it was, but it was still like that's this. I would say it was Ben Roethlisberger as the quarterback. So, like, it was a largely because remember in football the guys don't last
was
as
it,
long.
Le'Veon Bell, I don't think was a part of that team either. That's,
but in
that's
terms
what I mean.
Of like if you're going to talk about that era though, like okay, you start off with a Super Bowl and then what happens after that? So if the Astros start off with a World Series, then what happens after that? Because what Dallas Keuchel likely won't be a part of this long stretch. Like a lot of key players from that World Series aren't going to be a part of this Astros team moving forward.
I just thought this take was coming way too early.
Nope, it's great. It's perfect.
Way too early.
Set the pressure. I mean, set the standard. We want hot baseball takes all year long. This is how you get it started, by setting a high standard.
Well, that's definitely fair, because I would not be bringing up this topic if Rich had not made this declaration about the Astros being on the verge of being in the 1990s Atlanta Braves, concept being win a lot of regular season games and yet only win one World Series title. I mean, they did have a very good season this past year.
Not good enough.
Maybe it works against my argument here, because I guess it's what the Braves would have done. But they won 103 games. They were an excellent team. By a lot of the advanced metrics, they were one of the best teams of the last 25 years, basically. And they just happened to run into a team that was a little bit better, and they also ran into a team that was much healthier than they were in the postseason.
The other thing about the Braves is that they lost in the NLDS a bunch of times.
Yes.
Like, it was different than... I feel like they had regular season success, and then... lost, like, were summarily dismissed in the playoffs versus including to the Astros a couple times, you know? Like, even the recent, like, this year's Astros team wouldn't fit that narrative yet because they were much more competitive in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Against,
I mean, they did not have what I, Mike Meltzer, would term a brutal, heartbreaking defeat in the postseason.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of this whole narrative, is that to be in a situation like the 90s Braves, you have to go back and look and say, boy, that was a brutal loss, or this was a particularly brutal series loss. Like, they were up 2-0 on the Yankees in 96 and lost 4 games in a row. We haven't had that situation here.
Yeah, well,
like,
I, uh,
Have we?
Will Harris against the Royals.
Well, yes, but that's before they won the World Series. And that team wasn't good enough to win the World Series. The 2015 team, the Astros, were not good enough to win the World Series, even if they had won that series against Kansas City.
So what series would they have lost after that? And I'm not asking facetiously or anything like
probably
that.
Probably the ALCS.
The ALCS, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I like that team. It was a nice, plucky team, but I'm sure the guys on the team would tell you, like, that team was not, you know.
And I guess when I'm thinking of, like when I think of the, when I think of the Braves not having a good reputation over that period, I guess I'm thinking more of the early 2000s. Because, like, a lost World Series, for the life of me, I don't know how you use a lost World Series as some kind of a marker or a check against a team. So, okay, you lose several World Series, but you win one. Ultimately, was that a failure of a generation or so? I just don't even think, you're shaking your head. Yes,
I'm somewhat sarcastically. I think one of the more maddening things about baseball, you're playing 180 games, and if you lose in the World Series, it must hurt so much to go that far, to get that close, and then be like, oh, damn it, I couldn't do this again.
I see that part of it, I don't even add that to, like, the Braves I think of being regular season studs and then losing out was like more early 2000s where they'd finish first every year and then lose in the playoffs immediately.
Right, yes. 799 on the DWIattorney.com text line. That's 713-572-4610. Points out that the entire segment concept was Rich comparing all Houston teams as a whole to the 90s Braves.
Well, are you cherry picking this? Are you picking a...
No, I don't think so. They specifically emailed this clip out. But my issue with that premise is, how am I going to compare the Texans or the Rockets of the 90s Braves?
The Rockets are there, man. I mean, with the last couple of seasons.
But the Braves won.
But the problem with the Rockets, though, too, is that, okay, I mean, if you can make the case that winning the Western Conference is basically winning the NBA championships, they've lost at that high level a couple
twice
times.
In the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's just not the same. It's not the same as the Braves. But that, I guess there is no... The Braves, that was a pretty unique situation in sports.
Yes.
Especially because you're in this city that didn't even seem to care about the Braves even when they're in the World Series.
If you combine the Astros and Rockets, I see where Rich is coming from. Yeah. Because there's been a couple of times where they've been really up there. And if you really want, I never really felt that great about the Texans 2011-wise, 2012-wise. 2011, I felt better than in 2012.
Well, but, 2011, it popped up out of nowhere. So
right, and also with Yates under center too, yeah. It's really hard to get a gauge for how things would have gone in the playoffs. I know some people feel that with Schaub, things could have gone better. Definitely would have gone better against Baltimore. I think that's for sure. I think if you add it all up, I can see where he's coming from. I don't think it's that outlandish.
For some reason, there's something about this Rich Lord take which is against my constitution.
But
I'll have to flesh it out.
But the problem is, your take is already you're predicting what's going to happen in the future. Basically, you have a very bullish take about the Texans or about the Astros. Then
not necessarily.
Because you can't have it. His take was what it would be like if that happened over the next 5-6 years,
where there's no title for any of the Houston sports teams.
I just feel like it's being made too early. It's too early of a take.
It's too early for him to talk about something that's going to happen in the future.
Sometimes the take is too early.
Until you can't wait for it to happen or not happen and then talk about the future.
It's never too early for a piping hot take. And you know what? That's one of the things that's one of those things that rubs me the wrong way when you get told it's too early to say that one person's better than another.
I can't believe you just came out and basically allowed Rich Lord to own you by your own doing at 756.
Great take, Rich.